This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our guest here, our friend, and our fountain of positivity.
Yes.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm okay. We are all going to be okay.
Thank you for that.
It sure feels, heavy.
It does feel heavy.
I've never heard someone say they're okay in a more positive way ever. Like, even
it
when you're,
sucks.
You're okay is still my, like, I'm amazing right now. That's the level of difference between our, wow.
Yeah. You ran a great race. It did not have the results that we were hoping for, but you're still feeling positive.
So on Wednesday morning at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was talking with another one of my women candidates up in Northeast Wisconsin. And I just want to remind you, we had more women running in Northeastern Wisconsin than men. And only one of those women, Chris Alfheim, the amazing Chris Alfheim, is going to be our new state senator from the Appleton area. But all the other women lost. And we started putting our heads together as early as 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and there were tears, and there was a lot of frustration, and there was a lot of concern about what lies ahead. And I don't mean to sugarcoat it, like, I'm very concerned about the next few years. But I also know that there are safeguards in place, that this country is stable, it's on the right track. Things can't get too crazy too fast. And the thing that I really believe in is us. By later Wednesday afternoon, more of us had come together to say, we are not just here for this campaign, we are here for our community. And since that time, it hasn't even been a week, we've been building. We already have something cooking in Green Bay on Sunday night. We know that we all as individuals have to be part of the solution. And that's what we're going to do, whether that means investing in the Supreme Court race that's coming up this spring,
yep,
or getting involved in our local school boards or whatever it is. It's that community level stuff that is really going to make a difference for all of us right now. And Jane, Greg, Calvin, I'm here for it. I know you are too.
Absolutely. And we were talking about this last week. You know, it's important that people take the time that they need. If you are hurting, you're disappointed, you know, you're feeling afraid, you need to feel those things. And so check out for a little while. Just, you know, shut off and shut down and do what you need to do to take care of yourself. But at some point, you will feel better. And when you feel better, that's the time, like you said, Kristen, to get back into it, get back in, stay involved in your community, stay involved with your public schools, your school boards. Everybody should, you know, run for something. Are you hearing from other people who are like, you know what, I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. Now I'm going to try.
I already have heard from two women across the state who are looking into running for their school board races.
Great.
I mean, they've
awesome.
Already started the process.
That's great.
So talk to me, please. If you want motivation, if you want to try to figure out how to plug in, I am here for you. Find me on social media, Kristen for Wisconsin. I'm on all of my stuff is still up and running, and it's not going anywhere. This wasn't about a campaign for me. This really was about building community. So I'm going to be here for the long run. If there's anything that I can do for you all, talking to our listeners as a community, as a neighbor, please reach out. I would love to help you get plugged in.
There are organizations to help people get right to examine, you know, what it takes and what you need to do in order to run, right?
Oh, yeah. There's Run for Something.
Run for Emily's Something.
List. I mean, depending on who you are and what your demographic is, there are organizations out there that are there to help you, to teach you. There are webinars and there's so much information out there, but sometimes it can be hard to take that first step. I'm inviting you to take that first step. And maybe you're not ready to run for something. Maybe you just want to be in the background. Maybe you've never been to a school board meeting and you just want to see what it's like. I watched the Supreme Court hearing yesterday. I don't know if you guys watched it. I have a special interest in that.
We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah.
I watched the hearing yesterday. I had never watched anything like that before. It was fascinating. And to know that as a member of the public, you can plug in there. You can plug in your city council meetings. You can plug in your county board meetings. There are all of these different places, depending on where your heart is and where you feel like you can be most effective. There are all these different ways where you can plug in. If you need help figuring out how to do that, again, I'm happy to do that. And I'm sure there are plenty of folks in your community who can help you do that as well. Let's get those conversations started so we can all be part of the solution.
We had Sherry from Horicon, who is just a wonderful, wonderful listener who listens every single day, say something similar. It's like she doesn't want to sit on the sidelines. She doesn't want to. And yeah, if you're not running for office, Kristen, I totally agree. You go to myvote.wi.gov and you can plug in your information. It can tell you who is your alderman, who is your county supervisor, who are your representatives in Madison. And if you don't even know in D.C., who knows? But you can find out. You can go to those meetings anytime they hold them. They're public meetings. They're notified. And you can find out who your leaders are. You can talk to your leaders on that local level, and that's how you can even get involved there. And then do what our friend Margie did, which is hold a get-together.
It was a listening session.
It was a listening
session.
We
had Margie Lowe from Waukesha County, Kristen, a couple of weeks ago came into the show, and she organized a listening session for lawmakers, you know, and the people who are running against them to come and address senior citizens in particular. She's never done anything like this before. She had no organizing manual to start with. So she just kind of, she won it. And
yes,
and she checked in. Of course, none of the Republicans who were invited showed up. They all had prior commitments, whatever. But she said, now I'm working on my playbook and now I'm working on all these contacts that I made, and I have instruction sheets on what to do for next time. And it's those kinds of things, even if it seems insignificant and small, that will eventually make a big difference.
It is exactly that. That's how Renee Peplum got her start. She just ran a beautiful race in Assembly District 1 up in Doran-Kewaunee County. She is determined. She's going to be around for the long run. And I was just talking with some folks up in Sturgeon Bay. They started an indivisible chapter about 8 years ago. It wasn't about Democrats and Republicans. It was about, what does this community want to see? What are the pain points for us? And they decided that it was affordable housing. And they started talking about the issues. And that was the thing that brought community members together and started to generate some of the solutions. And actually, now they're starting to see some of that work bear fruit. So if you are out there and something is really bugging you, the way to fix it is to bring people together. The way to fix it is to focus on the issues. Don't focus on Democrats and Republicans. Don't make it about Donald Trump. Make it about the change that you can affect in your own community.
Yep.
Because if you have the desire and you've got the people around you, and believe me, even in what you think might be the reddest parts of this state, there are people there who feel the way that you do, who want that change, who are desperate for that change, and they're just looking for that catalyst to get it started.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest. It's been a couple of weeks. So glad to have you back on with us, Dr. Lierley. And again, you are a fountain of positivity, and it's something that we can all take a little, we all need a little sip of that from time to time.
Yeah, we do.
Speaking of the Supreme Court hearing yesterday, and you sent me a link, and I watched about 8 minutes of some of the back and forth between the justices and the various lawyers. And I guess, Dr. Lierley, one thing that really jumped out at me, we're talking about this 1849 abortion ban. And so that's what they're arguing before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, hearing arguments about the future of abortion access in the state. And one thing that just really stood out to me was the completely dispassionate way the lawyer for the Republicans presented his information. And I understand you can't be all emotional. You can't be, you know, you're an attorney. I get that. But it was just so completely dispassionate when one of the justices pointed out some of the ramifications of this. Calvin, let's play clip number one, please, from Justice Janet Karofsky. The first one. Yep, there should be two of them there. One is Justice Karofsky, and the other is Karofsky 2.
It could have been Karofsky all day long. She was brilliant.
She really was brilliant
yesterday.
There was such a, when I say tone, I mean that the most respectful way of like, are you serious right now? Are you serious?
Did you find up, Gal, or are they not in there? He's looking. This is a recent case from a woman in Texas who at 17 weeks, I believe it was at 17 weeks when her water broke. You're good to go? All right, let's play that first clip from Justice Karofsky, please.
Brought up the case of Joseli Barnica, who went into premature labor at 17 weeks. That is, her water broke. There was a fetal heartbeat, but her fetus was not yet viable. This happened in Texas. She suffered an infection that killed her because medical providers were unwilling or unable to give her the health care that she needed. And all she could do for 40 hours was pray that someone would help her so she could go home to her young child. And she died. That is a scenario that could easily and perhaps has easily played out here in Wisconsin under your interpretation of 940.04, couldn't it?
I'm not sure, Justice Karofsky. I'm not a doctor, and I would say that the interpretation of 940.04 that we're positing is the legislature's judgment as to what the law should be. I would like to circle back, though.
Hold on, I'm not done. Yeah. I can't think of anyone else other than pregnant people who are denied medical care under the law. Can you?
I certainly think that, for example, the FDA regulates particular types of medical treatment that are provided to people. I don't think that the notion of the government restricting a medical procedure is new, but I also think that there's a long established history in this state of prohibiting abortion.
The one thing that jumped out to me the most was, I'm not a doctor. No, you're not. And neither are a bunch of the guys who wrote this. They're not doctors either. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is a doctor, and we're going to continue our conversation with her, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Thank you for joining us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, is here just taking a breath, taking a sip of some positivity, moving forward. And right before we went to the break, we were talking about the Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court, hearing arguments yesterday about the 1849 ban. And listener Jim in Campbellsport asked if you could explain that 1849 law.
I can. In brief, this is a criminal abortion ban that was enacted back in 1849 that made all abortion illegal with the exception of the life of the mother. Now, think back to 1849. There were no pregnancy tests. There were no ultrasounds. Medical care was entirely different. It was almost, births were almost entirely managed by midwives.
Yep.
Doctors weren't even credentialed back then. This was right at the dawn of the American Medical Association. So it was an entirely different world back then. It's an old law that was left on the books throughout the whole span of Roe v. Wade. And during that time, a bunch of other laws had been enacted by the Wisconsin legislature to regulate access to abortion care here in Wisconsin. But because that 1849 law, which had been modified a couple times, was not ever taken off the books, when the Dobbs decision happened, there was a lot of confusion about whether it was enforceable. And the district attorneys across the state had to make a decision about whether they would enforce it. There were only 3 counties in Wisconsin that provided standard abortion care. In Madison and Milwaukee, in Dane and Milwaukee, those DAs said that they weren't going to enforce this ban. But in Sheboygan, DA Joel Ermansky said that he would. And so there was a conflict there. So 3 physicians joined the attorney general's lawsuit to push back on this. And we ended up with, in Dane County Circuit Court,
yep,
a judgment that said that this ban did not actually apply to abortion, but instead it applied to feticide. And they referenced a case of domestic abuse where a pregnant woman's fetus was murdered during an assault. It was challenged by DA Ermansky, and both parties agreed to take it up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And those were the arguments that were heard yesterday.
And that's where we are now. That's where we are now.
Yeah, and the reason that I'm so interested in this is that I was the provider in Sheboygan at the time. So I am the person with standing in this case, and it's my name on the judgment in Dane County Circuit Court. So I'm deeply interested in how this turns out, well, not just for that reason, but because I have to be able to take care of my patients.
Yes.
And this isn't about abortion. You know, the case that you referenced earlier, the 17-week pee prom, the woman whose water broke early in her pregnancy, and she ended up dying as a result of that. This is happening all over the country. I've been in a situation like that where I've had a patient. I mean, in many cases, I've had patients like that where I've been able to give them the proper medical treatment that saved their lives and allowed them to have pregnancies in the future if that's what they desired. But I've also been in a situation where I wasn't allowed to take care of my patient and she had to get sick before I could take care of her. And it cost her time in the ICU and money and time away from her family. And it was totally unnecessary. That's where we're at right now. We're sacrificing women. We're sacrificing families for politics. And we just can't continue on this course.
They're not doctors. They should not be writing legislation that involves medical things. They're not doctors. That makes me crazy. Calvin, we have another clip from yesterday's hearing in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Can you play that second clip, please?
If she is sexually assaulted and is charged as a third-degree sexual assault, which under the statute, under 940.225 sub 3A, that would be intercourse without consent. Okay. If she became pregnant as a result of the sexual assault, it would be illegal for her to obtain an abortion, correct?
It would be illegal for a doctor to provide an abortion to her in the state of Wisconsin, correct?
And were she to obtain an abortion after quickening, whatever that means, the penalty under 940.04 would be 15 years. It's a Class E felony, correct?
Are you talking about after quickening under 940.04 sub 2 sub A?
Yes.
I believe that's how it's defined, yes.
Okay.
But it would not be, she would not be subject to that penalty.
I understand.
No, the doctor would.
Right. If her assaulter is charged under 940.225 sub 3 sub A, which is a third degree sexual assault, he would be facing a 10-year maximum imprisonment because that would be a Class G felony. Is that correct?
I'm not sure what the particular penalty associated with that crime is.
All right, you can take my word for it. In that case, the penalty for aborting after a sexual assault would be more severe than the penalty for the sexual assault.
Think about that, folks. Just think about that. A woman is raped, She gets pregnant. She gets an abortion. The doctor goes to jail for 15 years. The rapist gets 10.
Might get 10.
Might get 10. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about.
You wonder why doctors don't want to practice in states like Alabama and Idaho. Why Idaho has lost over a quarter of their OBGYN doctors. Why North Dakota is down to, I think, two high-risk OBGYN doctors. People want to stay where they are because they have family there. They have history there.
Sure.
But when you can't live there because you can't practice medicine, you can't, it's your livelihood and your family's in danger. And, you know, especially for some of these young people who are wanting to start their own families and they recognize the kind of danger that they're in. Hey, this is not the kind of environment that we want to create. This is not how you grow a community and an economy. It is just so contrary to all of the good stuff that we're trying to do.
Dr. Kristen Lierley has been our guest. If you are thinking about running for office, look for her on social media. And just do some Google searches about running. Run for something. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend. I hope we see you soon.
Love you guys. Mwah.
Take care. News is coming up next when we return Wisconsin's version of Bodie McBoatface. That's all on the way. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up to round out the show, we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I didn't see that coming edition.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me like Andrew did for today's Tisbat. Send it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Remember, back a few years, Greg Bach, 2016.
Yeah.
A proposal by the British government to let the internet suggest a name for a new almost $300 million polar research ship. So they opened it up to the internet. Give us some suggestions for what we should name this very pricey research ship. And of course, there were some more dignified names suggested, like Shackleton, who was a very famous explorer.
Mm-hmm.
Endeavor, also named after one of, I think, Shackleton's ships. Falcon.
Ooh.
Falcon is good.
I love that.
That's not what won. Remember what won?
What won, Jane? Refresh our memories.
Bodie McBoatface. James Hand, a PR professional and former BBC employee, became an overnight sensation when he submitted the name Bodie McBoatface after seeing reports of the competition, and then he watched it completely get out of control.
This is not what I expected.
This is not what he expected. The storm that has been created has got its legs of its own, Mr. Hand said, adding he had submitted Bodie McBoatface in another competition just for grins. And he actually, though, voted for the name RRS David Attenborough.
Oh, that would have been
That
awesome.
Would have been awesome.
I just, you know English people. I know English people. I just imagine it's like, what should we name it? Boaty McBoatface. Do what you want.
Right,
I don't care.
I like that.
I'm trying to walk here. You're asking me dumb questions.
Makes me laugh.
Makes me laugh inside. Boaty McBoatface.
Well, Wisconsin, now we have our own.
Wisconsin said, hold my beer.
In Madison, community leaders getting closer to narrowing down potential names for Southside Elementary School. The school, formerly known as Frank Alice, has been using the temporary name Southside since they moved into a new building last year. Then they paused the naming process of the school for about a year while they were looking for a new superintendent. They did get 175 name proposals for the school, a record number for a renaming process, according to Greg Jones. This article, by the way, is out of the Cap Times. They did recently remove proposed names, including Schooly McSchoolface, Schooly McSchoolerson, and Big Chungus Elementary. I don't even know what that is.
Big Chungus. I like two things. I like Big Breakfast, and I love learning. Big Chungus. I don't even know if we can say that on the air, honestly.
Like, it might be a bad word. I don't know. Unfortunately, they removed those names.
Boo.
Disappointing. Under school board policy, district schools must be named after a prominent national or local figure who is deceased. Schools can also be named after a locally significant place, a geographical site, or a broadly respected civic virtue. So the name Lori Perry got the most nominations. A Madison leader who lived on the South Side and died in 2020. She founded the after-school program Mission Point 4. So that's pretty cool. The program offered tutoring for black students at West High. She also helped create the Mann Scholars Program, providing scholarships and mentorship to Madison students of color.
That's nice. I like
that.
Yeah,
that's lovely.
I mean, I'm looking, you can actually go, I put this story in the show links. You can click it. It says 175 suggestions. You can look at all of them. And some of them are very nice. There's Milt McPike, I'm assuming is a person of the community. Wayne Strong. Someone suggested Fred Rogers Elementary, which I thought would have been very nice. But yeah, then there is Schooly McSchoolerface. There was one that I saw that was just
Schooly McSchoolerson. Yeah, that's my favorite one, actually.
Eddie's House. There's just one Eddie's called House? Eddie's House. Eddie's House of Pancakes and Learning.
We were looking around this morning before the show, and I hope this made you laugh half as hard as it made us laugh.
We were laughing so hard. Like I said before, earlier in the show, I have not seen Jane laugh that hard in a while. And frankly, we need it. And let's ask you right now. Since Tuesday, it's been tough for people. And we've talked about how tough it is. And we were talking about feeling your feelings, expressing yourself, maybe turning off the social media, getting away at how you've been healing and relaxing and doing your thing. What have you been doing? And also, can you tell us maybe about a big laugh you had where you just felt like it just all came out? You're like, oh, man, I needed that. Because honestly, I needed that laugh. I've been laughing here and there since Tuesday, but that was just dumb, fun laughter happening, and that's what we all need.
Laughing till you cry.
Exactly.
Laughing till you cry.
That I'm going to pass out.
We were giggling back there like we were 12.
It was wonderful.
Calvin, any thoughts on Schooly McSchoolerson?
Well, I just wanted to provide some context on Big Chungus.
Oh, good. Oh, excellent.
Our resident young person in Big Chungus
here, here to clear it up.
So Big Chungus is kind of... It's one of those amorphous internet memes that doesn't totally mean anything, but it originates from this image. I don't know if it actually is from the cartoon or if it's edited, but of Bugs Bunny, really fat. He's like round like a ball, and it just was captioned Big Chungus, and it kind of took off from there, and now kind of just refers to anything that's cute and fat.
That's hilarious. Didn't make the cut.
Big Chungus did not make
it. Big Chungus did not make it.
Where do you go to school? I went to Big Chungus Elementary. and then I made my way to Harvard.
Right, exactly. Where did you go to school?
Schooly McSchoolerface.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about this article in today's Cap Times, and we'll put this in our show notes from Kayla Hoyne about the renaming of an elementary school in Madison, formerly known as Frank Alice. They moved into a new building last year, and so they had to put the naming process on pause while they looked for a new superintendent. And then they asked for proposals from the community, and they got 175 name proposals. But they did remove Schooly McSchoolface, Schooly McSchoolerson, and Big Chungus Elementary.
I don't care. I'm not here anymore.
Oh, there you are. Right.
I don't care how many times you say it. Big Chungus will always make me laugh. Glory of the Morning Elementary School. I'm looking through them right now, and there's just
these are actual suggestions.
Yeah, there's a lot of just like people who I imagine are part of the community and, you know, important leaders and cool people. But Glory of the Morning Elementary School sounds like, welcome to Glory of the Morning Elementary School, kids. Please rise for the prayer.
Yeah, that little. But other suggestions included Shirley Abramson.
Mm-hmm.
Whom Governor Evers and State Supreme Court Justice Anne Walsh Bradley nominated in letters to the school district. Abramson, who died in 2020, the first woman to serve on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the first to lead the court as Chief Justice. She served longer than any justice in Wisconsin history, according to the governor.
Okay. Some people just said Southside. Like, come on, man. The one that's hitting my heart the most right now, Chris Farley Elementary.
Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been great.
That would have been great. What's been making you laugh?
What's been making
lately?
You get through it?
What's helping? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Could be just something very, very silly, like Greg and I getting our chuckles out of this.
Absolutely. Oh, never mind. That's just some weirdo. Never mind. I thought someone was texting us. They're just being weird. Sometimes people text us weird things, and I don't say them on the air because we don't need it.
No, we don't need it.
But, you know, we're talking about fun stuff here. I mean, yeah, it's pretty innocuous after those three names, though.
It's tough to come close.
Fuel or crutch? I don't know. Calvin, does fuel or crutch mean anything to you? That's one that doesn't make sense.
In resident young person lingo?
It's all one word, fuel or crutch.
No, that doesn't mean anything to me.
All right, fine.
I'm confused. I said that out of confusion.
Right now, Lori Mann Carey is the name that's gotten the most nominations. Yeah. Again, a Madison leader who died in 2020, founded some after-school programs, helped create scholarships and scholarship programs and mentorship. So that's pretty cool.
Pele Elementary? I don't know.
Soccer player?
I guess. I don't know if Pele had any sort of... And someone actually suggested Otis Redding Elementary because he died in Madison.
Yeah, not, no.
No, we don't need
no,
that.
No, not so
I love
much.
Otis Redding as much as the next person. That just seems very weird. Andrew Vermain says, other people text you weird things, but that's my job.
Oh, Andrew, there's enough weirdness out there to go around.
Trust me, we love your weirdness.
Yes,
we
absolutely.
Adore your weirdness.
And we greatly appreciate it. Andrew, on the live stream, the Elementary School of Recombobulation.
Damn
maybe the next time in Milwaukee, if we need to rename a school,
we could,
you know, promote that for Dan Schaefer.
What would you do, Jane, if they said, Jane, I just want to let you know, the school is going to be named after you. It's going to be called Matinair School of...
Whatever. Laughs?
Like Matinair School of Radio Broadcast. We're going to teach people how to be in radio, and we're going to name the school after you.
We'd have to have a long sit down about that. I have a real long sit down.
But someone texted in, Chris Farley School needs to be by a river.
And if yes. The Chris Farley School located down by the river.
Yep.
Calvin.
Absolutely.
This isn't totally related to this school or funny, but it's more of a feel good. I saw a CBS News story from a few weeks ago that a Missouri elementary school voted to name their elementary school building after their beloved custodian that all the children love.
That's awesome. Do you know what his name was? Does it include what his name
Big
was?
Big Chungus.
I'm trying to find it in the article. It is a woman named Claudine Wilson. So now it will be Claudine Wilson Elementary.
That's fantastic. It really is. That's fantastic. So they named the school after the favorite beloved janitor.
Love that.
I do too.
Someone listening to us on WGBW said Big Chungus Elementary almost made me spit out my lunch. Well, at least we've accomplished one thing today.
What was our goal?
We had one goal when we created this show, to make people spit out their lunch because we're that funny.
It's always an extra plus.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
A little spit take or whatever. We'll take all of it.
Spit take is one of the most, a spit take and a snort. When you're doing comedy, when you get a spit take or a snort, you know you've nailed it.
Snort is high praise.
Oh, my God. Are you like a, oh, my gosh, yes. You just can't. Oh, it makes you feel so. I've seen comedians stop their sets because they hear a snort. And they're like.
They just want to bask in the snort. They
like, look, got a snort. That's mine. That's all mine.
Basking in the snort. It's what we do.
Big Chungus.
And you can always join us.
Yes, please.
At 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Send us strange things. We love them. You can send them to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. One break to go. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I Didn't See That Coming edition. That's on the way. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Todd Alba, it's Tuesday. He will be right after us, after the noon news, from noon to 2 p.m. And because it's Tuesday, that means Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers.
Ooh.
That's always a lot of fun. Make sure you join him and see what is annoying Mr. Mathers today. What's grinding his gears. That will be with Todd Alba after the noon news. Right now, though, it's 11:52. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And again, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Our friend Andrew from Maine sent this in. Headline reads, ambulance hits Oregon bicyclist, rushes him to hospital, then sticks him with an $1,800 bill.
We're coming to America. That just sounds like the most American thing ever.
71-year-old William Hesch was riding his bicycle when he got hit by an ambulance. It turned into him.
So the ambulance's fault.
It is the ambulance's fault. Fractured his nose, left him with scrapes and other injuries all across his body. He's filed an almost $1 million lawsuit against the ambulance provider after it scooped him up, took him to the hospital, and then build him.
Yeah. Sounds like the most American thing ever.
Mr. Hesch was billed $1,862 for the ambulance ride. That's only among the $47,000 in medical expenses he's already racked up so far, and another $50,000 worth of medical costs he expects down the road. The Columbia River Fire and Rescue declined to comment.
Shocking.
Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company also did not respond to a request for a comment. This is from OregonLive.com. According to the lawsuit, Mr. Hesch was pedaling through a small town in October of 2022. He and the ambulance were going the same direction on a street that's a mixture of homes and businesses. The ambulance turned to make a right turn onto another street and crashed into Mr. Hesch, destroying his bicycle. And again, which then the ambulance scooped him up after they hit him, took him to the hospital, and then billed him for the ride.
Hey, folks, if you get hit by an ambulance, make sure before they take you to the hospital that you got full coverage and the hospital you're going to is in network.
But according to the police reports, the driver who struck Mr. Hesch, they were only going between 2 and 10 miles an hour. So it's not like they were racing to an emergency.
No.
They just weren't paying attention.
They weren't paying attention. But 10 miles an hour in a car can do some serious damage to someone on a bike or on foot. And I'm just hoping that in this story, that's part of like the procedure where you have to like, in order to get your, like in order to get my insurance money, I have to sue you, Aunt Stephanie. That's the story. But still,
I don't know how you can even remotely justify charging him for this ride.
No, well,
he wouldn't have needed the ride if you hadn't hit him.
Your insurance, probably going to go up because of this, and it would like, you know, like the idea that everything in their business will be raised, their premiums, their liability, all that stuff because you hit them. Give the guy a free ride at least.
Absolutely.
So
we will try and keep you informed on how this lawsuit goes.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I smell a settlement.
I think you're absolutely right. And thank you again to Andrew from Maine for sending that in. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Oh, man. Didn't see that coming. Edition. On the way for tomorrow, Angela Lang is going to be here from BLOC.
Yes. Black leaders organizing our communities. Cannot wait to hear from her. She's got a lot of thoughts on what happened in the race, a lot of thoughts on what's been, and probably a good place to listen to someone what to do to decompress after something like this as well.
Definitely. Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine at 11:21. Public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. And again, we will wrap it up just like we did today with what we are calling TISBET for short. This shouldn't be a thing. A couple of questions we wanted to resolve before we head over to the news. A listener had asked how long Eric Hovde has to ask for a recount. Mm-hmm. We're seeing two different dates. One was November 20th. One was November 22nd.
Yeah.
So we know he does still have a little of time if he wants to challenge those results. But again, it's my understanding that because of the closeness of the race, if he wants a recount, he's going to have to pay for it himself.
And now I'm seeing another story no later than Saturday the 23rd. So,
which is it?
I know. Make it make sense, people. Well, so basically, he has until the end of next week.
End of next week.
Yeah.
The great Hovdini. No one has seen him. We'll keep an eye out for him. I hope you will, too. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit or a snort, and you have the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.